When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Fell and senior writer Corey Clark. Your weekly dose of all things FSU, pistols, and pies starts right now. Here's Jeff Cameron.
Hour number two, Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV. Time for headliner questions. Great to be with you as always. We appreciate you guys. Birch Orthodontics, the sponsor for the hour. Co-sponsor of the show with Register Sausage and the entire show. It's not just an hour. It's the whole thing. And I think I have a scheduled appointment, as I am wont to do these days, with Birch Orthodontics for not next week, but the week after. Always on the calendar, buddy.
Your ride or die orthodontics.
It's my ride or die orthodontics. And I've got an appointment, which I don't want to get too much into her personal life, with her husband.
Okay.
For what he does, and my kid being in eighth grade and all that stuff.
So the... You know, I was thinking about, like, I think this is the time of year where I need to go have a football chat with Dr. Birch. Because she's got strong opinions.
Well, I think she's probably feeling better.
The nice thing, you know, the interesting thing about our relationship with Dr. Birch is back in the old days, like when my kids were going to Birch Orthodontics for the best orthodontic care in the world, I probably did more of the talking. And she would do the listening, you know. Yeah. And she's like, show some respect to me. Mm-hmm. The last few times, it's like, no, man, I'm not hearing your nonsense. Yeah. I don't believe that kid can play. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that coach.
Why
staff
would I?
Coach,
you've steered me wrong every year for the last five.
So I need to go and I need to hear. I need to get the expert advice from Dr. Birch, which you can get as well if your kids are going to Birch Orthodontics for their orthodontic work. Also ask for a little football consultation.
What are your thoughts on the season upcoming, Dr. Birch? You got any thoughts on that team?
That's what you're missing, Corey.
I can't wait to meet her.
I thought you met her at the big celebration.
I know, I was joking. Okay. We actually had a great talk. Yeah. I like her a lot. Yeah. I wish I'd seen her since. Not in a weird way. She's just a fun person. Yeah. Let's get on to questions.
Let's get to the questions. That got weird in a hurry. Yeah, man. Has she not returned your calls,
weird.
Corey?
It's weird how those moments usually occur when Corey's talking.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
Sorry. Well, maybe she'll go to New Orleans with me.
My favorite part about that was that as you said it, I could hear the regret in your voice. It came out. I'm just talking to talk.
Yeah. it's the beauty of Corey Clark.
Here we go. Michael writes, hearing his dulcet tones over playoff weekend made me remember it's Jim Nantz season. NFL playoffs, PGA events, March Madness, the Masters. My man is living the dream. Unrelated, how would each of you pose for a portrait of yourself hanging over your own fireplace? Jeff, yours is obviously a portrait of you laying on a rug of your own face. Corey, Ira, how about you?
I mean, I would probably do like my back to the camera or my back to the painter, but kind of peering back over my shoulder, like looking at you.
No shirt?
As you see... No, well, of course, no shirt.
Okay.
Are you kidding?
Got
yeah.
It. Sorry.
So you see all the hair. Hmm. And I'm just kind of peering back over my shoulder at you. I think people would like to walk into something like that. I'm glad he brought that up, because anytime I hear Jim Nantz,
of course,
all I think about is him having a portrait of himself in his house.
Other than you being with your wife or your family in that portrait, like, is there a way, or your girlfriend, is there a way to have a portrait of yourself in your house?
No.
I mean, there's no possible way.
No.
What if you had some magical, or you with a dog that you loved when you were young or something? That one
well,
dog you had when you were five.
But then you're
Corey.
A kid in the picture. That's not so bad.
There's got to be a scenario where you can have a painting.
Well, Jim Nantz will tell you there is a scenario by which you just have to be Jim Nantz, and you can by all means have a portrait of yourself for all the accomplishments in the broadcasting world. That's it. That's all.
What do you, if you're a painter? What do you tell? What do you when somebody asks you to do a self? Like a painting of just them to hang in their house. What do you, is a
you
painter?
You charge them an excessive amount because clearly they'll pay it.
if I got somebody to paint a portrait of me and my of me doing what I just said, and I when I gave it to you, one of you as a gift,
I would put it up.
Would you put it up for real?
I'd find a place. Maybe I'd put it up in studio, but it would be awesome. I mean, I would crack up about it. Yeah, it'd be a great joke gift.
Well,
sure.
I'm going to commission one.
Okay.
Probably a couple grand. A big one. Probably, you know, 6x6, and then I'll give that to you as probably a Christmas present.
Gator Kirk writes, good afternoon. How many more games does the basketball team have to win in order to be a guaranteed NCAA bid?
Ooh, a lot.
A lot, yeah, because it's a down league.
Eight.
So you got,
I say eight is a guarantee. If you get to 14 wins in the ACC.
So if they're 14 and 20 in the ACC, or however that works.
Yeah. Who knows what Iris math is? Yeah, I think if they get to 14 wins and they have a win over Duke and a win at Miami, I think that should be enough to get you in. They got to take 68 teams, and that'll get you in the top four of the ACC, and I think you're in them.
Yeah. Do we think it's a 3 or 4 bid league, or just a 2 to 3 bid league?
It could be as low as 3, possibly. Man.
But I saw the last bracketology thing I saw had him as a 5 bid league. So, I mean, look, they're not going to take like 4 from the OVC. They're still going to take some name brands. So I still think if you're in the top 4 of the ACC, you're probably getting in.
Tom writes, I think the Seminole Headlines crew needs to swing by awards for you to pick out the perfect platinum Bohica trophy, then set up a GoFundMe so listeners can fund this vision into reality. The Bohica award presentation must occur. And it might happen at the ACC tournament. I got to be honest with you now. This is something to seriously answer to, not about the Platinum Bohica per se. But even if I had with me in hand a Platinum Bohica trophy to dole out to the University of Miami for having been on the wrong side of 10 straight losses, I don't know that I want to face them in the ACC tournament.
No, not particularly.
It feels like that's the place that the Bohica would go to die. I really believe that because 2 1-point wins, certainly the percentages suggest you're not going to go there and win that game. And also, I mean, purely motivationally, I can't imagine Miami, A, facing down the Platinum Bohica. They've heard of it by now. I mean, it's out there. They know they're
Mario running. Knows about
well,
it.
Well, he knows.
That's why he was so impassioned. He was trying to make sure it didn't happen.
He's like, guys, we're getting dangerously close to the Bohica. And I don't need to tell you what that entails. So there's all of that. And then you know, in addition, just pure pride at some point kicks in. I thought it would have kicked in after 5 straight losses, maybe 6 straight losses. But we are up to 9 straight losses. At some point, they'll die on the court rather than lose again to Florida State.
Yeah, you just don't want to play them. And they're good. It's not just
the
motivation.
That's a bigger issue. They're good. Next year they won't be as good because all those 24-year-olds won't be there anymore.
Mm.
I think
it's all the more embarrassing that they keep losing to us.
The whole thing with, you know, when you look at Florida State in this basketball program, like how far, what they have to do, I do think that they are going to get the benefit of the doubt. If the second half of the season doesn't go as well as we hope it will, and I think it will go really well, I still think Florida State, because of what they've done these last few years, their seeding is going to be decent.
This is the test, right?
NCAA tournament.
Have you legitimately earned your way into the realm of which now you're a team of greater significance so that when you have an average year by your own standards these days, you get the benefit of the doubt the way that North Carolina and Duke and the other blue bloods always will? I mean, you see this in college baseball the year that Miami went 500 and got into the NCAA tournament. That was based on the cachet built up of, you know, the better part of 3 decades of being really good at college baseball, not because of the resume in the moment. So you'd like to think Florida State going back-to-back-to-back Sweet 16s have certainly earned
they don't have a great out-of-conference schedule or wins, then that's not going to hold them back.
Do you agree?
Well, they're not going to be a high seed. We know that. They're not going to be like a 2. They can't reach that ceiling. But they could still be a 5, probably, if they have a good close of the year.
Nathaniel writes, I keep hearing very good things about Winston Wright and his dynamic versatility, and I continue to be impressed with Atkins' slow but steady rebuild of the offensive line's depth. From what I saw at Memphis, this could be the first chance we have of seeing real flashes of the downfield Norvell offense at FSU, assuming Travis can keep building on his obvious late-season passing progress. Do you guys think it is possible that the offense actually outperforms the defense next fall? I do. I think that, you know, even if you have enough guys to fill in for some really big shoes to fill along that defensive line, that they're probably going to take a bit of a step back up front against the run. And I do think that now that you went out and you got
some legitimate wide receivers. You brought in another offensive lineman that we think will start. You brought in some depth, in my opinion, bless Harris. You brought in some depth there. And I think, now we'll see what we got at running back. Obviously, Benson comes in. We'll see if he can add to that group. But anyhow, you've improved yourself there. And I do think Jordan Travis improved this year. I haven't been as ardent a supporter as these two, but I've noted that he's gotten a lot better. And if he continues to grow, especially with receivers to throw to and a better, deeper offensive line, yes, there's a very realistic chance this offense performs at a better rate than the defense did this year.
Well, he has to, right? I mean, it's going to be on Jordan Travis to some degree. You have improved the offensive line. You have improved the wide receiver core. You have solid running backs. It's the quarterback now has to play at that level for this team to take the next step. And I'm with Nathaniel. I mean, I think the offense does have a chance to be better than the defense. I think the defense is going to be decent, but I think the offense could be a plus this year for the first time in a while.
It has to be, right? Yeah. Like, it's 2022. Clearly you can't win with a little bit above average defense. We saw that's what Florida State had this past year, was a, you know, top 40-ish type defense, and they went 5-7. You got to put points on the board, man. And their offense has not done that for 2 years. If it doesn't surpass what the defense is going to do, it's going to be another mediocre season. You can get to 8 or 9 wins if you have a good offense. Not elite, but good. And
it should be a good offense. It should be a good offense. It should be.
You hope, right? Yeah, you hope it should take a pretty substantial leap.
I am interested to see what happens as we move forward. Do they bring in a viable backup at quarterback? And I think it's important that you do it. You don't want it to be a death sentence if for any reason Jordan Travis can't play for a game, a quarter, a half, whatever it might be. And again, I'm not going to assume he can't, but if it happens that he can't, you better have somebody you can put in there that you feel good about to carry the day or a week or two until he gets back. And we won't know. I mean, let's see what happens.
Yeah, I think they definitely will. I think there's probably 5 or 6, maybe 4 or 5, 6 more transfers they add, and I think quarterback will be one of them.
Next question. While we can, hey guys, I absolutely love the show, and I've been listening since 2010. My question is mostly for Jeff. Last week I heard you dismiss out of hand the thought of Deion Sanders being considered for a head coaching position if things got worse here. I do want Norvell to succeed, but let's say the worst things happen and he goes 5-7 or 4-8. Why wouldn't we consider him? Prime prep is the answer to your question, Nick, and many others, but I won't entertain this anymore. It's not an option, and it's a stupid thing to even consider. You guys may disagree with me, so I'll give you a chance to weigh in.
There's a lot more to running a football program than just recruiting. Now, could it happen with, you know, if he was surrounded by a great staff that put all those things into place? But, you know, the point you're making, his chances to run organizations have not gone really well in the past. So it's just a different skill set. But would he help in recruiting? I mean, obviously.
Yeah, and if he keeps winning 10 or 11 games at Jackson State, there are going to be FBS schools interested in him.
Oh, I don't disagree. I don't disagree with that. There will be plenty of people that are interested in him. I'm answering this very specific question. Go read a story, February 2nd, 2016, The Spectacular Collapse of Deion Sanders' Prime Prep, and that's all you need to read.
Hey, we all make mistakes. I will say this. Look, if he does win 2 or 3 more big years at Jackson State and Norvell doesn't get it cooking and Deion shows an interest in Florida State, whether you dismiss it or not doesn't mean it will not be bandied about.
Well, it's already bandied about.
But he wasn't a head. He had never done it before. He had wanted to be the head coach here without ever coaching anything. Well, now he'll have 3 years of real experience. It's not an FBS program, but he will have been the head coach at a real college football program.
What I would encourage people to remember is run. And this isn't saying he doesn't have the ability to do it. It's a question of whether or not he wants to do it and will put in the time to learn how to do it. Being a head football coach in 2022 at a program of a Power 5 level, it's like running not a Fortune 500 company, but it's like running a huge company. There's so many moving parts. There's so many things that go on. And again, it's not whether or not he has the ability to do it. It's just there's a lot that goes into it that requires more than just connecting with recruits. And it's not to say he can't do it. It's just even doing it at that level, I don't know that it necessarily 100% translates to what you could do at the Power.
No, sure. It's always going to be a question, right? Just like hiring the guy from Western Kentucky or hiring the guy from Memphis. It'll always be the question, but it won't be out of the realm if things don't get better here. They need to get better here, and that's what we all want, folks. That's what we all want. We want Norvell to succeed.
Twitter question, as a Bills fan, what's worse, Bills flying kick to the cojones this past Sunday or Atlanta's 27-3 Super Bowl collapse? Relax, Corey. You're coming off of 2 championships. That was
number one. It was get it right. It was 28-3.
It was 28-3. That is correct. 27-3 was the Rams nearly losing, almost losing to the Bucks after being up 27-3.
I just don't understand kicking it out of the end zone.
No, of course you don't, because it was a dumb thing to do.
Because the ball gets to the 25, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you squib it, he has to pick it up and return it. You tackle him, 4 or 5 seconds go off the clock. The game is over. They're not going to be in position to kick a field goal. It was a cataclysmically stupid decision from Sean McDermott, and it shouldn't have cost him the game, but it ended up costing him the game.
Well, I don't even think you have to squib it. That kid has a big enough leg. Just kick it really high to the 8.
Well, either way. I mean, you can do it either way. The point is you want him to return it.
Yeah, he's going to run it out, and it wasn't Tyreek Hill back there. So it takes them 4 seconds or 5 seconds to return it, probably. Then they got 8 seconds left at the 25.
It's over.
13. It's one play.
Yeah.
One play and a Hail Mary.
Mm-hmm.
That's just bizarre. It's just bizarre.
Well, I feel for Bills fans. It's crazy that happened. It should never happen.
Loss.
It's an awful loss. It's not worse than losing the Super Bowl of 28-3, though. I do think.
What could be?
But how many touchdowns were scored in the last 2 minutes? That game was
17 points scored in the last 2 minutes.
It was absurd.
I've never seen anything like it. I doubt we ever will.
It is funny, though, like they showed when he threw that touchdown with 13 seconds left, that one coach went and jumped on McDermott.
Mm-hmm.
They showed Josh Allen's family celebrating.
Because they should have been.
It should be the end of the game.
It should be the end of the game.
But it's also the NFL, man. And if you're going to give Mahomes the ball at the 25 with 13, he's got two chances.
Well,
it's not like he had to – with those kickers – you just got to get to the 40 to give yourself a chance. So you got to go 35 yards.
It's still silly.
Mahomes going 35 yards in 13 seconds isn't out of the realm of possibility ever.
Yeah, but there is a reason that you've never seen it before. I mean, it's not – I don't care how preternaturally great the quarterback is. If you're properly playing a prevent defense, that doesn't happen. It's crazy. I'll never understand how it happened, and I forever feel bad for Bills fans. I'm glad it wasn't my team. That's brutal, but it's not as bad as
you know what they should have done is been kind of more uptight, closer to the line of scrimmage, like Florida State.
So I actually had this conversation with somebody at Florida State, not on the football staff, just about that game, the Jacksonville State game, and the similarities, because that's exactly what Adam Fuller was trying to prevent was the pass underneath that sets up a field goal. The difference
is the Chiefs have Harrison Butker.
The difference is the
field, not a freshman who's never made a
exactly
field goal in college games.
That difference, and then the fact that if you go to overtime with Florida State, you think you're going to win that game as Florida State against Jacksonville State in overtime, as opposed to
there's a lot of difference.
The NFL, yeah, I'm just saying, but from a football just strategic standpoint, if you take all those other things out of the equation, that is exactly what Adam Fuller would have been concerned about.
I also like how that game is going to be the tipping point for them changing the overtime rules to where each team gets the ball once.
Mm.
Meanwhile, my Falcons never got to touch the ball in overtime. Tom Brady just wins the coin toss and the game's over.
Well,
those were two great quarterbacks going at it. Two all-timers.
Yeah, in 2018 it happened.
Yeah, yeah, it looked a little different. Josh Allen in the last, I don't know, two quarters of that game looked a little bit different than your quarterback.
Yeah, Josh Allen looked a little bit different than every quarterback that's ever played in the last 2 minutes of that game. That was insane.
When he gets going, dude, he is unreal.
Well, I mean, he's also just a hoss.
Yeah.
Who's 6'5", 250 running like
that?
It's
with that
just
arm.
Dumb. Bishop writes real quickly, and we'll answer it and take a break because it's an easy answer. After this week's amazing games in the NFL playoffs, do the AFC and NFC championship games have any chance as being just as good or competitive? No.
Nope.
No chance.
If they did.
Yeah. It's crazy. Impossible. No chance. Simple headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio continues in a moment. War Chant TV.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, is he declaring an emergency? There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Keep the questions rolling here. Walter writes that he's excited about the TCU Horned Frogs coming to Hauser in April. We get them between their series with Oklahoma State and OU. We need payback from the 2010 College World Series. I remember it well. The old eight-run eighth in the 11-7 game. That's when Mike McGee threw the frisbee down the heart. And I think, Corey, correct me if I'm wrong, that was a home run that went about 680 feet.
It landed in another state. It landed in Iowa.
Yeah, that was close to Omaha. That was in Rosenblatt, and you could first guess that that was happening. McGee was throwing frisbees, and you're like, this is not going to work out. And when we beat Florida, I think, with a McGee save, that was a line shot to second that was hit right on the nose. Smoked. And I could tell Mike was done. Mike was done on the year, and we were still rolling his ass out there, and that guy hit a ball as far as you can humanly hit a ball.
Well, see, I know what kind of fan Corey is, because Corey's a fatalist. He, you know, just an Atlanta sports fan, even though he's just won two
titles. He should stop being a fatalist.
He'll still be that way. But I'm curious about you, because, like, the Bucs fans seemed like you guys handled that loss better than I expected. You have Tom Brady as your quarterback.
It's easy to handle a loss when you're the reigning Super Bowl champions.
You just won a Super Bowl, and it just feels like you guys would have been a little bit more dejected. But you and Tom just, like, moved on right away. I guess what I'm questioning, like, so in that moment when Mike McGee is throwing
that one hurt.
The sliders that won't break. Mm. Are you just hoping, man, he's just miss one bat?
Or hit it right at somebody.
Or pop one up, just miss it.
Yeah, it's baseball. You can get lucky. Somebody can nut one and it can be right at him.
Or are you thinking, man, this kid's going to get, there's no chance.
Well, that at bat in particular, I had a bad feeling about for a lot of reasons. I believe I give Corey the credit here. I typically have an encyclopedic memory for FSU baseball in these ways. Losses. Snapshots of our painful losses, I can remember. Ooh. I want to say, Corey, that kid was a lefty.
He was, yeah.
Yeah, and Mike's throwing that ball that goes right to the heart of the bat from the right side to the left side. Yeah, I remember thinking this could not be a worse scenario. That's a toughie. Yeah, I can remember that one. That one bothered me.
They got screwed because they didn't have a great shortstop on that team. Right. There was a ball earlier in that inning that should have been an easy double play, but you didn't have a terrific fielding shortstop.
There's always something.
Bad things happen.
Yeah. As for the Bucks, both Tom and I thought the Rams would win going away. So when it was 27-3, I was like, well, this is happening. I mean, you're beat up. You don't have your guys. You're going to lose. I have to admit, coming all the way back and improbable as it was, and Sue forcing the fumble from Akers, and weird watching Florida State guys just throw up all over themselves as Jalen Ramsey gets beat on the Evans bomb. Good to see that. But that said, like all of a sudden, you know, it's 27-all, and I'm thinking, well, maybe we will win. And the reason that it stung a little bit is because the 49ers did beat Green Bay in Green Bay, and I have nothing but respect for San Francisco, but I don't think they would have come in to Tampa the following week and won that game. So you could have kind of almost lucked your way into the Super Bowl because the Packers had lost. But oh well.
But guess what? Guess what, man? You didn't.
No.
You didn't. Your season's over.
It is. It is.
The season's over. Sorry, get ready for the draft.
So for now, I can sit back and think winning the division, winning the Super Bowl championship, winning 14 games this year, you know, it's all right. It'll be okay. A lot of winning lately. A lot of winning. Let's get to the next question, which is Mike writing, what's it going to have to take to have four great college football games like the NFL had over this weekend? He's talking about playoffs. I don't know, man. There just never seems to be four great teams in college football, does there? There seems to be two.
No, but
sometimes
you can have great
three.
Games.
You could, but usually somebody is there that's going to get overwhelmed. I don't know.
If the two teams are the two best teams are getting byes, then like that 12-7 matchup could be a humdinger. Could be an all-timer, man, or however they want to organize it. But yeah, I can tell you this much: it can't be any worse than the product we've gotten in the playoffs since its inception. It's usually one out of three games that is close, if that. You think about this past year. Georgia-Michigan was just over before it started. Alabama-Cincinnati was over when they scheduled it. So you had one game out of three that was compelling.
And that's the problem
came down to the final quarter.
And that's the problem with that sport. And you know, we talked earlier about March Madness and how difficult it is to win a title or go to the Final Four. I mean, once you get past that first weekend, I mean, sometimes in the first weekend, but certainly once you get past the first weekend, nobody's beaten anybody by 40. I mean, it's just, you know, their teams are good. There's a lot of good college basketball teams.
Yeah.
And you can be beat by anybody.
Competitive balance was something that I used to bring up all the time when we talked about women's basketball, that one of the things that hurt women's basketball was that you could have an Elite Eight game in which the prohibitive favorite beat the other team by 45 points. Like, that happened. And you'd watch UConn or
another
Tennessee.
Another top 10, like a top 10 team.
And they'd beat him by 100, and you go, well, that shouldn't happen if we had more competitive balance. And I feel like college football, I mean, college football's got that problem. There's not a lot of competitive balance, man. You've got a couple of teams at the top, Alabama this year, Georgia, Ohio State most years prior to this year, Clemson. Now we're starting to get to slim pickings. Even those Big 12 teams like Oklahoma, who I love, you know, and Notre Dame, certainly, every time they make it, you know, well, get ready for the ass-kicking. Nobody thought Notre Dame would be competitive. Every time that they go, you're like, this is an ass-kicking. And frankly, I bet a lot of money on Georgia to beat the hell out of Michigan because I didn't think Michigan could be competitive in that game. So you really didn't have, and you don't have, a lot of elite teams in college football, period. It's not good for the sport.
Having said that, I'm still more for more playoff games. Just because...
Gives more people a reason to hang around longer.
Yeah, the final two may be a predetermined conclusion, but I'd like to see more playoff games.
Sir Stuart Wallace writes, Jeff, may I create the GoFundMe that accumulates the bail money to cover you storming the floor to hand-deliver the Platinum Bohica to the Canes next fall after 10 straight? This has to happen. How many chances will we realistically get to deliver a Platinum Bohica for that ass? Well done with the phrasing.
You know, the nice thing about that game, see, the civics of the Tucker Center, they have ushers now that really do a pretty good job of trying to protect the court. Like in that Duke game, the last that we sit right next to where they line up, where they get in a formation, and with about 5 minutes to go, they were like really getting into gear. They were fired up.
It's not worth it, guys.
To stop the crowd, and they were really trying to. It just didn't work. But
it never will.
But in the Miami game next year. Like, they're not even going to be thinking about it.
Oh, right.
So you'll have a clear pass.
Well, I also have a press pass.
Right. That's true.
Here's tentative. The beauty. You're going to want to make an announcement to the people in attendance of what's happening. But you don't want to be too clear about what it is you're giving them. So you get the kid they use for the contest during the timeouts at the Civic Center.
Yeah.
Who screams unintelligibly into the mic when you can't understand what he's saying or why. He just screams loudly. So get him to do the presentation, and people will be like, what is he saying?
He'll specifically map out exactly what it all means and why they're getting it, but nobody will understand.
Well, nobody will understand him, and people will just cheer because he's so loud and enthusiastic that they think they're supposed to cheer.
My question to you is, how do I get Larinaga to stay on the floor and take this prestigious award?
Well, you hogtie him.
Or if
– You hogtie him.
Somebody else.
Now he's elderly. I could pin him down.
If somebody strategically is on the other side, like in the stands behind their bench, and yells something about like an early bird dinner,
right.
I feel like they'll distract him.
Something along those lines, right? And then he turns, and there I sit with the Platinum Bohica in all of its glory.
Are we having an early bird dinner? And then he turns around, and then there you are.
He thinks to himself, "I'm going to be able to get some roast beef," and he's excited. And he turns around, and instead, there's the Bohica, which is utterly shocking to him, and he's thinking that he's being accosted.
Liver and onions tonight?
What are we doing?
Or maybe mention that insurance that Joe Namath pimps on the ACC network all the time. He'll turn around for that, I bet.
Yeah, Sir Stuart, if you'd like, start the GoFundMe, because I will get arrested, and that's not – I don't really want that, but I'm willing to do that. Chris writes, big picture, can FSU football climb all the way back to the top of the mountain and win a national title – without significant reform to the NIL, conference realignment, etc.? I ask because with how these 12-team playoff talks have gone, I can't hardly fathom these guys agreeing on anything.
Yeah, so the point being that there's probably not going to be any sort of resolution anytime soon with the NIL. It's hard to imagine, but you can't say never. I mean, man, teams have figured out a way before to win without either, like in the age of cheating, it's not like the biggest cheaters always won. So you can't assume that the teams that – but it's as we said earlier, it's a hard road, man. If Georgia and Alabama and now Texas A&M and soon to be Southern Cal and those schools start recruiting at this level, it's going to be tough for Florida State.
But not impossible.
No.
I have a friend that's a Michigan fan, and we were talking about the Georgia game. And he's like, look, we hit our head on the ceiling. There was nowhere else to go. If you're not from the South – you can't win a national championship.
Well, you can if you're Michigan's arch rival, Ohio State.
That's what he said. That was the one. That was the one. And even then, that was 8 years ago. But Ohio State recruits in different parts of the country, I think, maybe than Michigan does. But Florida State does have an inherent advantage that they're in the South and they're around where a lot of the good defensive linemen are. So it's not like you're asking kids to come from Wyoming to play for you. You've just got to keep the kids near you home.
And if you get a Joe Burrow-type quarterback, you can beat
anybody. You've got a chance. If you get a special quarterback, you've got a chance.
Donnie writes, on to baseball, boys. With the new FOF in the works, how does this affect Hauser? Please tell me that someone has directed decision makers to some SEC ballparks as proof of concept. So if and when they move, it can be, as the kids say, lit. Keep up the good work, gents. Couple things there. I would say you don't have to point to the SEC, although that is a fine place to start. There are several stadiums throughout the ACC that are vastly superior to Dick Howser Stadium as well.
There's no longer a question or debate about whether or not Howser's an armpit and needs to be fixed or rebuilt. Everybody knows that. The question is, at what point does Florida State feel like that's worth the investment with all the other things that they have to do? So I don't know, man. I don't know what the answer is. Would you pour $30 million into fixing Howser, or would you go with the Jeff Cameron idea, just blow it up and start over, which is going to cost
more? I would probably blow it up and start over, yep. And I would make sure that – I mean, Buster Posey's got to move back to this part of the country, right?
Yeah, I think he's moving to Atlanta. You guys can hang out.
Buddy. You can hang out with Buster. I'm sure he noodles fun.
My point being, come on, man, he made like $200 million. Just give about 10% of it.
That's all.
That's what, all. What, give 10%.
That's all we're asking.
Corey's not asking much.
Just 10%, buddy. What did Florida State do for you, Buster? Without Florida State, you would have never played professional baseball. Don't we all agree on that?
He'd be playing shortstop somewhere.
He'd be sweeping the floor.
He's
heading to Dallas.
For the record, I do think Buster's been pretty generous with the FSU baseball program compared to what a lot of athletes do.
Compared to, say, J.D. Drew.
Compared to a lot of athletes. And, I don't know. Maybe it will take former players – Stepping up because it's going to be a big investment.
I don't often do this. This is very Corey Clark-like. Do I get any credit for 12
yes.
years
yeah,
ago
I will say, I will
beating
say you
the
were,
drum about this?
You were one of the first ones. That's why I said there's no more question or debate.
I was screaming it from the mountaintops.
For a long time, I thought we could put some more lipstick on the pig. But then when you start looking inside the pig a little bit, you realize there's some problems there.
And looking at the other pigs around the the southeast, man, these are cathedrals, man. They are real. They're like minor league parks.
They're interactive too, man. It's awesome. They let you walk in with coolers and beer, and people are going nuts. Every time a home run is hit, there's beers being thrown in the air. Women are stripping. It's a big time to go to a college baseball game. None of that here. It's old people, filth, puddles, cobwebs, giant fans, and garbage music. Simple Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment.
Get your tickets now.
How you doing there, podcasters? Good. Good to hear it. Listen, if you're wondering for a good place to eat, watch a game, have a cold beer, enjoy a lot of choices, we suggest Horizons Bar and Grill.
Maybe even run into us.
You and I especially.
Yes.
I'm there once a week, I think. When I'm in town, I'm there. Stephanie and I are there. Great place. Cold beer, hot women, everything you want in a – I probably shouldn't have said that.
Well, it's okay.
Hot beer and cold women at some bars.
Whatever you're into.
I like the good-looking ladies, too. That's all right. But even if that's not your thing, I'll be there. I'm a good-looking guy.
And we would all agree, great food. Legitimately
good food.
The most
important part of this ad is the great food.
It's great food. They got TV, sports bar. They got the vibe, but beer, food, everything you could want. And most importantly, again – other than the food, is that there is at least, I'd say, a 35% chance one of us would be there.
And you get the mac and cheese bites.
And you can get those shrimp tacos, which are the king. You've gotten healthy on me lately.
I eat the hummus.
Who eats really that? Good. He does. At Horizons Bar and Grill.
I know I like hummus. Maybe I don't, but Horizons got some great hummus.
But you look for them on their website. You can see their happy hour specials. It's just a great place to hang out. And it's if you want to like a little upscale dinner, you can go in there for that as well. It's at Bannerman Crossing at the... right off of Thomasville Road and Bannerman up there on the northeast Tallahassee.
Tell them Headlines sent you.
Well, the important thing is support the people who help support Seminole Headlines. That's Horizons Bar and Grill. And thanks for listening to the podcast.
Woo!
Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
We're not here on Seminole Headlines, anyhow, an outlet for breaking news. But a few minutes ago, Sean Payton called it a day, retired from the New Orleans Saints. Tragic to see him call it a day and to leave the NFC South. Just thought you guys should know.
And Brady's about to retire. looks like things might be opening up for the Atlanta Falcons. I'm just saying.
Your window closed some time ago, sir.
It sure did. It closed shut real quick.
It closed with a 28-3 lead.
That's right.
Sean Payton, is he stepping away for a little while, or are you saying retiring?
I think he's stepping away for a little while. He'll come back in some capacity. Well, I don't think he wanted to retire as soon as Drew Brees retired. Like, he wanted to be like, hey, let me coach. When I covered Lewis Williams in high school, real quick, he left, and his head coach that had coached him for 4 years wanted to retire then. But it's like, that's not going to look good. So he hung on for one more year after Lewis Williams. They barely made the playoffs at all.
You definitely need to leave when that guy leaves.
But you don't want to. So Sean Payton
Then there's some ambiguity whether or not you were a big part of it. If you stay, you prove that there's no ambiguity.
So he's like, okay, I gave it 1 year with Taysom Hill. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do this without Drew Brees. I don't like coaching without Drew Brees.
My offense isn't nearly as fun with Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
Robert writes, I love the show, fellas. My question is, how come the state of Florida has such a hard time when it comes to producing offensive linemen? Love the show, go Noles. I don't know the answer to that. I am not an expert as to why certain regions of the country seem to produce an abundance of certain types of player. Like, for example, the state of Louisiana, they just forever producing defensive linemen at a rate that doesn't really belie their overall numbers. I'm just shocked by it. Anyhow, it happens, as we see. And there seems to be this idea that obviously the Midwest produces an overabundance of offensive linemen. I don't know why it is, but they don't import them.
But to your point, I mean,
wide receivers and running backs.
It's kind of an axiom in recruiting that you're not really looking for offensive linemen in the state of Florida. If you are, you know, there's some that turn out to be really good. For the most part, it's not where you want to be.
Weather's good here year-round.
Are we getting Twitter, by the way? Twitter?
Yeah, buddy. Okay. I'm going back and forth. Right. I'm doing it up. Hey, Jeff, long time no see. Got to make time to see you and your dad. Oh, we got a dad reference, everybody, in family soon. Two questions. How far does this basketball team get? They're so Jekyll and Hyde, as we saw this past weekend. And will Tom Brady come back for another year? I don't know about Tom Brady. I think probably based on a couple of things. As far as this team, I actually don't think they're Jekyll and Hyde. I think they just have a ceiling. There's some real flaws to this team that they're overcoming. So they're always going to look like a team that makes things look difficult because it is for them. They're not elite yet.
And I also don't think that weekend, that performance that came out, that was a unique situation. In fact, I think Leonard Hamilton basically said he expected them to kind of have to grind out the first half physically.
Right.
But what happened was they shot so well, and Miami shot so poorly.
That was
they
a beautiful got off. Thing.
I think it just kind of gave them some energy to where they played that awesome first half. Then they get to halftime, and I think that's when their legs went, and that's part of what you saw in the second half.
Corey, you want to add anything to that, buddy? Been awfully quiet.
No, you guys nailed it. We'll see. If they get to the tournament, maybe they get on a roll, win a couple games.
Well, that is the funny thing about the tournament, right, is that here I am saying that they have this ceiling that is highly unlikely that they're going to go real far. Just making the tournament would be a great thing, and I believe all of those things. The tournament's weird. If you get the right matchup, who the hell knows? Maybe all of a sudden you're looking up and you're in your fourth consecutive Sweet 16. If they did that this year, with this team and all of the holes to fill, as you pointed out, Ira, that would really be kind of a minor miracle.
Well, and I thought, listening to Mike Krzyzewski's press conference after Florida State beat Duke last week, one of the things he talked about was he just said, look, man, you can't simulate what Florida State does defensively. They take you out of anything you want to run. And so that's a different thing. ACC teams get used to that. In the NCAA tournament, a lot of these teams are seeing this for the first time. The fact they switch 1 through 5, they pick up 94 feet, they're pressuring the ball every possession, they don't sit back on – you watch some of these other college basketball teams, and it almost looks like they're just letting each other score. Florida State defends a different way, so that sometimes does lead to some more success in the NCAA tournament because teams don't see it.
And look at the teams that have beaten them in the NCAA tournament recently, like Gonzaga. They had played them the year before. Michigan had played them a few years before that. Like, the guys that have seen it before, you get a little more accustomed to it.
And they had some big-time NBA guys on those teams.
Well, that helped.
I was going to say, Michigan had some dudes, in particular, a guy who's up for Rookie of the Year this year in the NBA.
He's pretty good.
Pretty good. Jason writes, I saw T-Buck and Ole Miss parted ways. Any word whether he comes home, and if so, in what capacity?
We all love T-Buck. We'd all love to see it. They don't have an opening on the field. I don't know that he's looking to be off the field. I think he likes being an on-the-field coach. So if he gets an offer to be on the field somewhere else, my guess is that's where he would go. He is on the market again. They just don't have any openings.
Jason correctly points to the or assesses the Cristobal situation that we talked about earlier. What did you all think about Cristobal at the Miami game? It looked like a total disaster to me, starting with him deciding to take the mic right when the timeout was almost crazy. Over.
It was like, if he keeps talking for 5 minutes, will they stop him?
That should be a technical.
Yeah, it was hilarious. I laughed about it as well. Roger writes, Aaron Hester, 10 pounds of muscle already? Is that even possible? Yay, sausage. Hey, listen. You know what Corey and I think about this. We're not worried about what's possible, what's not naturally.
Maybe Aaron.
And there is a good chance that Barry Bonds is going to be elected to the Hall of Fame today, and Roger Clemens.
Hey, I'm all for
cheating
it.
Pays off. Well,
I mean, look, man, the baseball thing is ridiculous, just because everybody, the whole league was cheating at that point. So it's ridiculous to single out a couple guys. But I would say this: I'm just thinking. Maybe, you know, Ben needs to think about maybe Aaron Hester could be the first. Registers NIL deal.
Yay, sausage.
Because that kid is going to put on some. I'm bullish on Aaron Hester. I think he's going to be a good player for Florida State.
And I'm bullish on cheating to get kids bigger. So let's hope it's happening. Roger writes, or excuse me, Trey writes, what is one conversation each of you would like to have with a current FSU head coach not related to sports? Well, I mean, I would fall into this very easily because you could have a lot of conversations with Leonard Hamilton about his life and about growing up, when he did. And how he did and what he's done. So that's where I would go.
Corey.
I don't know, man. That's a really hard question. How many of them have dads? Probably most of them have dads, right? Still alive, I mean. So any of them
that
have dads.
Turned into being about you again.
I think I think I'd like to talk to Mark or Corey and just about non-soccer.
Yeah.
Like just he's just such a smart, fascinating dude. Like he's a guy that you could see. I could see Mark. If I had a problem either with a business or with a country, well, I just think Mark Corian could probably figure out a way to solve it. Just the
with
smart
a country.
Dude. Anything
you have a dispute with a country?
Or no, if I'm running a country, if I have to help run a country,
you want to talk to Mark?
Bring in Mark Corian.
Yeah, let's talk to him about this. I'm sure he understands
he's a
economics.
Smart dude, man.
Mark writes, when will the 2022 football schedule be released? Monday. And no question, just choo-choo from Marjartan. Marjartan wrote that on Twitter, Ira. So there you go. And nice. It's a great – I wish you guys could see this, but that is hilarious.
I can't see it.
Yeah, that's great. Just
that
a
is
big,
nice.
It's just a wonderful choo-choo train with a really determined look. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Wrapping it up. Few final headliner questions. We've done good, guys. We've done good.
What were y'all just giggling about? Since I don't get to take part in the
I was actually
off-air
banter. I cannot repeat what we were just talking
but
about.
But I was actually going to tell you, Corey, that this has been kind of – the chit-chat between segments has actually been kind of nice today.
Yeah.
Like a little bit more – something just a little different. Just a little, I can't
less
put my
Corey
finger on
centric?
It. That Ooh. Could be
That it. Might Ooh. Be – it's actually been about our families and life Ooh. Outside of this. Hasn't been about what you're doing next.
Sorry. Thank you.
You know, we love you, buddy.
Next time you'll be in studio.
Yeah, we love you. Jeff.
I'm never coming back to that studio.
This is from Brent. He writes, Jeff, will there be a listener viewing party at the X Mart when you purchase the Platinum Bohica?
Oh, man.
That's well done, Brent. Matt wants to know if we think the NFL is rigged. No. Sean says, how much do the Rams win by without FSU alums trying to lose the game for them? Yeah, that was crazy.
That was a rough patch there. So, hey, so Evans got him with that stutter step, didn't
he?
Oh,
it was beautiful.
He did that twice in that game. That's a nice move, man, because it dinks the DB. They have to look around.
And he's deceptively fast, straight line. Yeah. Like, people don't think a guy that big can go, and he really can go.
Yeah, Jalen's thinking, like, I can look back, and I'm not going to lose him.
Yeah, he lost him. Kyle writes, do you guys know why Travis Hunter was ranked the number one recruit in the country when committed to FSU and even on signing day, but currently he is ranked number 8? No, I didn't know that. I stopped following him the second he screwed us.
He's still there's different services. He's still number one with rivals.
Yeah, I'm not overly worried. Thomas, this is a long one, man. We can't do novels. I guess I'll try here. First and foremost, thank you, fine gentlemen, for doing what you do so well.
That's okay. Enough.
You can stop there. Thank you. You're welcome, Thomas.
Well, Ira, you're going to be glad that I didn't stop because he writes, this question is more for Ira because he's the GOAT when it comes to the ins and outs of the soon-to-be-great Seminole football program. Hmm. But I'm always interested in Jeff and Corey's opinion as well. Ooh, Backhanded.
You know, it's just nice to have
I'll
a different.
Any compliment. I don't care if it's backhanded.
Since as of right now, Norvell only brought in Verse at defensive end, who's game ready, are we to assume the underclassmen are ready to make impacts this year? I have confidence in Briggs sliding over, but just wondering about the two deep and packages and obviously obvious passing situations. Another somewhat related question, where do you guys see Jermaine going in the draft? By the way, I'll answer that really quickly. I don't know where he goes, and we'll burrow down into that a little bit more, but I do know that two projected draft slots for him are in the first round already. That's amazing. Asking for the Bills fan who desperately needs a playmaker to get Jackson Mahomes' brother slammed down a couple times in next year's rematches. Okay. So let's go to the beginning. You're the goat, Ira. Answer his question about the depth of the defensive end.
I feel like, first of all, I do feel like they feel good about the young guys, particularly Patrick Payton. I think he's got a chance to be a star at some point. Byron Turner they like a lot. He's coming off of shoulder surgery, so I don't know. We'll see how good he looks this year, but they like him a lot for the future. They've got some other young defensive ends that they like, but I do think they'll still try. And I think Briggs is going to move to that position, I would think, based on the depth they have at tackle. But I still think they'd love to get a defensive end in the portal, maybe after the spring. So I don't think they're done there, but I also do think they like the young guys. Corey, you have anything you want to add?
No, I was about to do a goat noise, but I've never done that before in my life, so
try,
who knows how that would sound.
Let's hear it. I'd like to hear it.
All right. Man.
Is that a goat?
It's a little underwhelming.
Do your Liam Neeson.
Yeah, let's just do that.
Okay, Liam Neeson saying the word banana. Hey, man, don't laugh before I can do it.
No, you do it really well. It is a rock solid.
I heard it in my head before you even
Liam Neeson saying the word banana. Banana.
He laughed again in the middle.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I'm not doing it again. I can't. It's like Steve Martin can't tell his jokes because the people are laughing.
I did like that. That's good. I heard it loud and clear. What's the status of FSU's basketball class of 2022 recruiting? That from Scotty, who really loves Florida State basketball, clearly.
You know, not great by their recent standards. I think their highest ranked guy is like in the 90s, maybe in the rivals, maybe in the certainly not in the top 30 or 40. It's a four star.
There's time. There's time.
A few three stars. Yeah, they'll get maybe one guy left. But
I like the kid. Is Tom House? I think his name. The shooter they got.
The shooter.
There's some video of him in some 3-point shooting contest. My man can stroke the three.
They really need Matthew Cleveland to come back. That's all. Cleveland and Mills come back, you can let these guys kind of find their roles.
The good news was, in that victory over Miami, Matthew Cleveland had a whopping 4 points. Maybe a few more games like that.
You're rooting for that?
Yeah.
But think about it, man. I mean, John Butler's going to be a stud.
He's going to be a nice player.
He's going to be a stud. I love Naheem McLeod.
I do too.
I mean, there's some – I mean, this – Cleveland stays. I mean, they could be –
That's a big if on Cleveland, though, man.
But if they all do, or most of them
– They could be good.
They could be – I mean, would they be a top five team in the country if that happened? I mean, it's probably not going into next season.
And also, if not, the portal's wide open, baby. The portal is wide open.
It always is. It always is. Jeff, what does the Platinum Bohica Trophy look like? Is it fit to be seen live on? No.
It's not really even fit to be talked about.
Oh, sure it is. Sure it is. We're not so sensitive in these parts. We can have these conversations.
Right.
And Jim Larinaga's seen some things in his 75 years.
Yeah. 75 going on 100. Yeah. That's a minute. There's no more questions. There's no more questions.
There's plenty more questions.
No, there's not. I actually got to every question but like five, and they're redundant. So Matthew will play music momentarily. Hey, I got to tell you, we are so technologically savvy. This is Matthew did a great job. Tom did a great job. 93.3 did a great job. Warchant TV did a great job. Of course, Ira always does a great job as
the
goat.
And then there was Corey.
And Corey, you were strong today from a distance.
Thank you.
You took the insults like a man, no problem. And, of course, I was an elite driver as always. So we did well, everybody.
Hey,
we
it'll
really
probably
well.
Be the same setup next week.
What?
I'll probably be up here next week, too. I might go to that Clemson game on Wednesday, Ira, that's up my way.
All right.
It's good to know that we've established this, that we can do this.
Oh, this is what we worried about. It was a quality product. It's not going to be an every week sort of thing.
No, but, of course not. Come on, guys. I love you guys.
Good work out of you.
I miss your musk.
All right. Silence Corey's mic.
All right.
For Ira, for Corey, I'm Jeff. Thanks for listening, everybody. Be well. Peace.